said that this is the milk room. I feel like I did the best I could for...
For having three-day-old milk?
Okay, and it's not... Do we remember the raw deal that I got on that, where somehow someone who will not be named as of yet... just didn't tell me that they spilled milk?
Yeah, that was the initial problem.
The other problem why are we not naming
having
names?
Milk.
Cause. Okay, but how many gallons of milk have I put down in this room over the years and never had an issue with it?
I see your point, but the majority of your time was spent on the floor, even though we have a couch in here.
So you go straight to the, you know, the...
the carpet?
Yeah,
and you can mop it with your shirt because towels are too far away?
Right.
Well, they're too expensive, so...
Because, you know, you throw them away after that.
Well...
No, Abby, like, I don't know, fell asleep with it. I don't know. Just there was a bottle. Like, put a pillow over it. So, like, one day I picked the pillow up, and there's just a bottle of chocolate milk laid over...
Chocolate milk?
Yeah, it was chocolate milk.
Yeah. So
that's the zinger on that story.
Stain.
So I had to, like, I ran and, like, I don't know if y'all had some carpet. I don't know if I used the carpet cleaner from the dog.
Yeah, that's definitely what it was, I feel like.
And that's horrible. Yeah. That has actually made contact with some turd at some point.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, I look back on...
You're welcome.
Yeah, that relationship. And I definitely wasn't, like, doing anything... of merit. I mean, you know, like, so it was, if anyone of the two of us would have the role of spilling chocolate milk on a cart, on a homemade hand-built couch. And
homemade hand-built sectional, thank you.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Yeah, three
pieces. Built in a couch.
Built in sections, so it'll never come apart again.
It's custom built to a window, and then pieces cannot be moved through a doorway.
You literally have to disassemble it to get it out of this room. And so, anyways, it would have been me.
Should we say that we're describing what we're sitting on right now?
No.
Just for some context.
Leave it in the void.
Okay.
Yeah. Someday we'll upload a picture so they can know. I've got pictures somewhere of us building it. That was when Peanut helped us with that project.
He helped. I mean, he did most of the work, if I remember correctly.
No, I thought that he, like, well, I thought he wound up...
I thought this was the Peanut Initiative.
It was.
I thought he had to leave and just... When I say help, I don't mean like he's not helpful. I mean like I thought he just wasn't here for a lot of it because he had to leave for something.
We got through the initial build. We had to do a lot of the cushioning and coverings ourselves.
Yeah, we had not bought much of any wood. I mean, we were literally disassembling MDF TV stands, just getting pallets, just free wood.
That was the beautiful gift of Pride Lands pallets.
Yeah.
Is most of this couch.
I did not know that.
Yeah, went and picked up sod pallets from Pride Land.
That's
and
wild.
Broke them down and could use very little of the wood from the pallets because it was just too cheap and too just cooked.
It's mainly legs, I think. I think we got legs out of it.
But so anyway, so like.
Not much, just the thing keeping us up.
It's only a few inches.
I don't know what the budget was, but we were under it, you know, and, which is easy to do when you don't know what the budget is. But then we had to buy, like, the foam and the batting and then the material itself, and it just blew the budget wide open. And again, didn't happen.
So wait, what did this end up being? Because I know, like.
Yes.
No.
Oh, how much is it?
Price-wise? Yeah. I feel like, what, like 400-ish?
Or did accounting not get that one together? Is it just...
Accounting was pretty loose back then. Yeah. I mean, it's not any tighter right now.
Yeah. I think you're right, Zach. I think it was 400.
Ballpark 400.
Because the way we justified it, because if you're asking the question, can you buy a couch for $400? Yeah,
absolutely.
You absolutely can. But the way we justified it is that it was brand new material. It was custom built to our specifications. Because it is wider. Like, the base is... designed to be wider so you can sleep.
This isn't the lazy boy. This is the wide boy.
Yeah,
you slept in this.
Yeah, there's been some
in
wide boys.
Yeah, no, this is wide enough to sleep in, not on.
Yeah, that's fair. And so we justified it by saying that it's like, well, it's brand new material, and this is the material Peanut had used, which it is holding up. I mean, the green against the blue, against the stripes, against the train, against the kimonos is really rocking. But, you know, this is eclectic style.
This isn't a themed room.
Yeah, the theme is
it was themed cars, 20 years trains, ago.
Yeah, it just keeps building. Just,
yeah.
Back when this was the old Growing Pains, Night Moans zone.
I mean, for what it's worth, it's cool to see that you can see the interest as we sort of grew.
Yeah. Yeah, except yeah, to the unattainable at the very top. It's good stuff.
Model trains.
Yeah. Lionel's getting up there, boys.
It Arco is. It's Ford, expensive.
Not the 63 split window, but the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, heck, I mean, who are we kidding? Are we going to go out and afford a SA30? I mean...
No.
No.
I only made 20 of them, and the 20 they made weren't hardly worth owning. So. Yeah.
So, okay, so C8. So, there's... Are you talking about the
Z06?
We should just start with the base, because you got to build on something. And Chevrolet made a big change going from front engine, rear wheel drive. It's a traditional, like, if you're going to cook this, the old Corvette recipe is you've got small block Chevy. Perfect, beautiful, balanced.
One of the best.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, one of the best engines.
And you do this whole, at some point, it becomes like front mid-ship because you're stuffing it into the firewall to get as close as you can be to being mid-engine while keeping the engine in the front. Kind of like what the Vipers were when they came out.
Right, but they were never brave enough to achieve what Viper did.
That's fair. But like, they got really, really good, though.
They did. They were very good, but they never were a true mid-shift front-engine car.
Yeah.
Well, but the limitation on weight distribution. I mean, so they had gone to a transaxle by what point? C6?
I don't know, honestly.
Six definitely had it. I feel like five might have.
The biggest technological jump for the Corvette was honestly the C4. I know people hate the way it looks, but if
Whoa, speak for yourself.
Well, okay, that's fair. I'm not even saying I dislike it.
Knowing the tech jumps. It doesn't look good unless you put a body kit on it. So.
Yeah, says the JDM guy.
Well, just saying, that's how you fix it.
It can look good.
All right, sorry, we were going to the C8.
But C4 is the biggest jump.
Right, technologically speaking, and then
you know,
cause I mean,
Crossfire 350 is like
that's the pinnacle. That's the pinnacle
of Louvre, however you say it.
Of electronics and mechanics.
Yeah, so
throwing wrenches and tools and voltmeters at something. It's
so you get to the point where you've got a small block, which even and we were talking about this the other day, the 427. In displacement, and obviously not cylinder displacement, which is 427 cubic inches, but the literal displacement of the entire motor itself, like long block, all accessories, is just hilariously compact.
Yeah, you look at and this is what I like to do is like paint a picture, because guys are like, man, V8s are so heavy, and you're like, well, I mean... Not really. It depends on which one.
Especially now that we sleeve everything.
And, oh, yeah. And not to change gears, but like to paint the picture a little more. So you have a dual overhead cam four-cylinder. So anytime you add complexity, you add weight, even if they're light materials.
And size.
Right. So like the comparison is, I love the Coyote engines because I'm a Mustang guy. But you look at a Coyote next to an LS, and it's so much more compact, the LS is. That's why people swap them. That's why they make sense to fit in just about anything. Because when you're trying to shoehorn those dual overhead cam Ford heads, which are the modular heads that came out, I don't know, 96 was the Mustang, first year they had them in it. But they look cool, they're great, but there's weight in that.
Right.
You get some like nice revving ability out of it, but you lose compactness and ease of maintenance whenever you go away from like the old cam and block style. That's why I can appreciate about Corvette is like they rode that out as long as they could. And helped with the weight over the nose too.
Yeah, and then you keep jamming it into the firewall, like what you were saying, and then you go to a transaxle because that's just moving a little bit more, you know. And I know that. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just getting excited because you're listing stuff, and then Trevitt made a 7-speed manual to like it was like the send off, a glorious send off in the C7. Because who gets to row 7 Ford gears?
Yeah,
not many people. And then in a car that could lap, I don't remember the track, I wish I did, it'd be important, especially since we're telling people this, but it beat a Ford GT lap time, the 2017 Ford GT, the flying buttress, you know, twin turbo V6 one. Yeah, pretty impressive.
Should have used a V8 Ford.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Deserve
it's
that.
Fine.
Well, okay, but that kind of brings the conversation, why Ford didn't, and why the Corvette had to go mid-engine is kind of the, I mean, it's the inevitability, right? Or it's the inevitable because there's nowhere, and this is, I know we had that conversation, and just to restate what you, I mean, you know, what I said then and what I maintain now, I can hold in suspense two truths, which one is, it was the next logical step in the progression. That they had optimized this format, and not only had they optimized it, you're starting to lose the space between the Camaro and the Corvette starts to be diminished because they've refined the system so much.
No, you're right. The is they're discontinuing it for 2024.
I heard about that.
It makes me really sad.
Well, they've done it before. it'll come back.
We can hope that Corvette stays mid-engine long enough, and everyone will complain that they want another front-engine sports car,
and they're Camaro, like, "Oh yeah, resurrected the Camaro's one more great time." Well, it's just maybe what's sad to me, and I hate being the guy's like, I keep splitting off these rabbit trails from our main conversation.
That's fine.
But the Z28 Camaro, the 2014 Z28, so it had the LS7, it had the 427 cubic inch small block, and it has some of the best driving dynamics ever in a vehicle. It was raw feedbacks. You could feel everything going on under it. It had one up on the Mustang because it had independent rear suspension, and it had a better double wishbone set up in the front as opposed to having McPherson strut like the Mustangs do.
Right.
So it had everything that was right about a performance car. I think it was 6-piston brakes in the front, maybe 4 in the rear. But it went head-to-head with the GTR, which seems like ridiculous. You're right. wait, it doesn't accelerate nearly as fast, but around a track. And I remember this, it was a test from, I think it was Road and Track.
It was on the Nürburgring, too, wasn't it?
I don't know about that, but...
You mean sure. Where cars go to die?
Where cars go to die, fair. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know, Zach, but...
It set some pretty good records on the Nürburgring.
It did.
Sure.
I just know the head-to-head was probably on a smaller track.
Oh, between probably, yeah. I'm not talking about head-to-head, sorry.
The GTR and the Z28, and the Z28 ran the faster lap time. And we're talking about a car, so the GTR, you've got dual-clutch transmission.
Right.
You know, you're never letting your hands off the steering wheel. You get to row your own gears in the Z28, and the fact you can click off a time like that... Like, they literally built one of the best dynamic driving cars, like an American version of an M3, honestly.
Right.
And we just let it die? Like, it's frustrating.
Well, but look at it's been so weird, and nothing has made sense for 8 years. But so to circle back just a little bit, I can hold two things to be true. One, that it was the next logical progression, and you kind of walk me through that when that happens, and you ask the all important question: like, where do they go from here? Because
right.
You have to, and this is the whole thing: you have to reinvent the wheel every year,
mm-hmm.
right? Dad always laughs about that with literal bicycles. So, like, you know, it's 26 inch wheels were the standard for a long time, but then 29ers back in like you know around 2010 ish, somewhere in there. You know, 29-inch wheels for mountain bikes were really in vogue because this is a new thing. And then it's like 5 years, and then I kind of get out of it, sell my bikes, and, you know, I'm not riding anymore. But then you get.
Harleys, right?
Yeah. Bicycles. And then you go back and you see that 27.5-inch wheels are all the rage now. Because, like, well, a 29-inch wheel is just, it's big and it's hard to turn. You know, but back in 2010, it was, oh, they're so tall, they'll roll over everything, they keep, you know. So you have to, in that sense, literally reinvent the wheel. But Dad talks about that all the time. They have to reinvent the wheel. So you can't just say, you can't take the I mean, what's a brand that's just, you can't keep making the same thing that's good over and over because it'll keep selling. Like, you have to make something novel. And so at that point, you have to do something else. And if you've reached this the natural pinnacle of what you can do with that format, it has to go somewhere else. So I can accept that that's true, but that does nothing about the fact that I don't like it. Like, I just,
right.
You know,
and that's where I was going to get.
Yeah.
Zach, you're not saying much, but I hope you do on this. Like, we're getting to the point where, let's be real, the Tesla Model S Plaid is the fastest production car you can buy.
Right.
Period.
Who cares?
Right. So this is the
There's
thing,
no...
but we've cared so much about numbers in the past couple of years, my
yeah.
generation, that we've driven it to this point.
Well, and this is what I was going to get to. It's going to become, it's going to, hopefully it's a resurgence of driver's cars.
But to be fair, there's place only like Porsche never abandoned that formula, right?
Well, but they did with the most recent GT3 do the dual clutch, and people complained, and then they made it a manual.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
Well, and that's so, and they the reason, and you have to think, what's the only reason they would do? Well, let's speak in really simplistic terms, and not the only reason. But what's the only reason they'd do it? Well, because it's quicker. You can prove empirically that it's quicker, and this is not to just really borrow from a stray subject, but like with building guitars, Dad and I, the sound that we're after is the pre-war Martin sound, essentially. And we've had to have this like realization that you don't get that sound by optimizing because now we have analytics for everything. And so they can say, well, we do this resonance study on this material and it's more responsive across the frequency range than this old material they used, right? And that's fine if you want that, but you don't make the sound that they were getting from guitars built in the 1930s by using new materials. You can prove empirically all day long it's more resonant, it's louder, it has broader response on the frequency range of, you know, audible frequency range, whatever. That's fine. It's not going to sound like, if you want it to sound like a pre-war guitar, you have to build it the way they were built. You have to use the materials that they were used. To that point, we're going to have to get away, and I think it's coming, where you can't worry about the analytics of it. It's just got to be, what do you want? And I think that there's probably a lot of people who understand that. And it just took, I can speak for us. Like, when we were younger, we didn't have that perspective. That it was a horsepower war. It was a top speed war. It was a quarter mile
time 0 to 60s meant everything because you click them off.
And that's all you care about because you're a Ford guy and they're a Chevy guy, which is stupid because then you just get older and realize you can't afford any of the things you'd like, any of the cars you'd like to have, and you just like to have any of them that you appreciate. But you know, you really live and die in that groove of, well, I'm a Ford guy and the new Mustang gets the 60 this many tenths of a second faster than the new Camaro.
Which was splitting hairs, but we cared so much about it.
I think maybe the best part of that whole thing is that none of us could drive a car well enough to ever get it to do. Right. And I'm not saying I can now either, but like I could never get that time out of one of those cars. And so that's a stupid thing to care about in the first place.
And they've sort of, just piggybacking off you, they've made it to where you can. That's why the dual clutch exists. That's why you have all these multiple launch systems, not just launch control, like just to the point where you set it up, the computer figures out your driving style at some point, you do set a launch control, but like you can click off very consistent sub 5 second 0 to 60s and just about every brand, just name it, $30,000, throw it down, you can go find something
that'll do really that. And I remember going to car shows and like trying to pick fights with people who had GTRs.
I didn't know that. That's funny.
The show in Elizabeth, and there's that guy that would have it.
Oh, that's right.
And, I mean, he's seen Knots, but you know, very loudly being like, oh, the old drives itself 9,000. I mean, you know,
old Sony PS6, eh?
Well, and that car, to be fair, for its time, there had not been that was prominent in everyone's mind and what the market was aware of. There had not been that big of a jump in technological since like, you got to go back to Evos, right?
Right.
So like when an Evo Mark, what was the one that like for its year just could cook a Lambo if you went.
I don't know. I have to go back to my early Top Gear days.
Yeah, that special. So yeah, that special they did. Like it just what it could do. That was the next that in my mind that I think of. It's just the natural progression.
The C4 was for the Corvette.
Right. Yes. It's a callback.
Not a very good one.
No. There it is. Yeah. And so, you look at it, and again, everything changes. Everything changes when you start paying bills. I mean,
real money, and you can't afford anything. And a 96 Jeep Cherokee with plexiglass facials is amazing.
And you find yourself realizing that, like, wow, you know, for the money, those cars were pretty outrageous.
And it made sense.
Yeah, and it's like, I remember having to pay tribute. I have, for people who don't know, I had a 99 Lightning, right? That was pretty much stock, other than Borla's. And
don't forget the Mustang hood scoop.
Oh, well, okay, I meant performance. Yeah, so it had a 70, what about a 70?
69
Mach 1.
Yeah,
hood scoop had the turn signals wired in it, which was cool.
It was very cool. Some old man really made us a good happy job with that.
Yeah. And so had the Borla's and had the cats cut out. And everyone says, well, it was the guy before me. It was because I guess I don't know if I should say this, but we took it to a shop to have some work done, and the guy's like, hey, you want us to, cut them out?
Like it's a drug, you know.
Well, because it's illegal or whatever. I mean, Tennessee is not an inspection, or at least this county.
I was about to say, Tennessee, that means nothing.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah. So he's like, yeah, that's fine. And then he calls his bagger, he's like, there weren't any in there already. So, which made sense why it ran rich and had codes and was louder and
Great burnouts. Yeah. Oh, wait, I guess it just did that.
Yeah, that thing was a burnout machine. Probably why the heads were needing some help by the time. But anyway.
Not that Lightnings are just not dependable. You just want to drive them a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, that thing got just flogged every last mile of the 150,000 miles it was. I didn't have it for all those miles, but like, you know. Anyways, the point being that I remember that being even when I was in high school. Like, there were obviously much quicker, much faster things out there. But it had stood up to, I mean, it had survived the time test. And far as what any of my friends had, like, it was quicker than, you know, a lot of stuff. If you launched it well, it was going to scoop, you know. And there wasn't a lot of cars that I came across.
It's like 14s in the quarter or high 13s.
Yeah, I think
like
high 13s.
It was fast.
Five and a half to 60, which is crazy. 99, a truck, and they've got it.
Two valve, too, because I went to the four valve in 0304.
Yep, two
which,
valve.
Which really just, with how fast your truck was in high school, I couldn't imagine if you had a four valve one. It would have been ridiculous.
Well, because it picked up about 40 horsepower, I think. But so anyways, because it was 300, so mine was 360 horsepower, 440 foot-pound of torque. But anyways, I remember, I just didn't come across a lot of cars that I didn't care to race. And I'm not saying I raced them, I just, in my mind, I was like, yeah, I could probably do okay.
It's not worth the gas.
Right, yeah. The exception to that being...
The Protégé, when you raced that BMW? That's a side story, we'll get to that
someday. The point being, I remember being in Knoxville and coming up to a red light and a GTR pulling up next to me. And the guy probably didn't even, other than being a car enthusiast, probably wasn't aware I existed. But even then, I wouldn't have thought of him being a car enthusiast because, again, in my shallow understanding of the world back then, I thought, oh, well, he's in a GTR. He doesn't like other cars. He just wants, you know, smoking another one.
Very nervous. Now a brief message from our first sponsor, Marlboro Cigarettes. Smoke a pack a day.
Get choked up when I think about them GTRs.
I promise I'm almost done with this soapbox. So I just remember.
It's getting pretty tall.
I don't want it back.
Yeah. I remember him pulling up. And again, I thought, well, he doesn't care about. And that's just so wrong. Like, he might have loved all sorts of cars. That was just bang for his buck. The best thing going.
And the fact they didn't revise it till now.
Yeah.
R30. Like, it's still out. It's still the R35.
Right.
To this day.
Yeah, and it's a great platform. And I just remember being like, that feeling, knowing with every atom in my body that I couldn't touch him. Like, if he wanted to race off this red light, then, like, it's going to be just a slaughtering, you know?
You might as well fry him and make it look really good. Like, you might as well be like, oh, I didn't have traction anyway.
Yeah, well, it's just like, I got to pay tribute. Like, no matter what I felt about them and no matter how much I would try to rationalize how they weren't cool and they weren't good and all this stuff, when I was lined up next to one, I was like, yeah, I can't touch that, you know?
See, that's what I want to do with the Plaid. And now I actually appreciate the GTR, so I wonder if an older me will appreciate the Plaid at some point.
And then, of course, the only other time that, and I thought I could handle them, was that.
Zach's playing the organ over there.
It was a 6.4 power stroke, I think. It wasn't a 6.7. We think it was your cousin, remember? And anyway, he walked.
Was it a single cab?
No. No, it wasn't Andrew. It was
a different cousin, like an older cousin.
Oh.
The one who been in
Travis?
Maybe.
Oh.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's possible.
He liked to pick fights for fun. He was like, Mustangs are slow. And I was like, I guess so. It's fine.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. The way that truck hauled, they are. I mean,
oh,
like,
no, I know. You get to a point where
whatever
like,
he
you're
had
tuning
done,
it.
That tune, it must have been an 800 horsepower tune. I mean, it was insane.
I mean, out of the box, 800 foot-pounds of torque on the 6.7, I think.
Yeah, 6.7.
Yeah, that's nuts. Like,
yeah, but I'm saying like 800 horsepower too, because I have never. I tell you what, I think that truck could have handled that GTR. I have never seen a car move that quick, and it was a full. I mean, like a full bodied.
But isn't it crazy how it being full body actually helps it out, so you can keep it rear-wheel drive, keep some weight back there, and the fact you like.
Well, he had already got rolling. That's the only way he. That's still.
You don't think off the line?
No, no,
good.
No. He had got
good,
it rolling.
Good, good, good. He's going to have some real contesting with
I
that.
I remember downshifting. I know that feeling. I can still feel it, letting it downshift and go, like in the lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember feeling that and being like, oh, man, I've downshifted. I've timed this right. It's going to take off. And he just dog walked me like I was sitting still. I have to imagine.
Dog walked.
Well, I have to imagine that's got to be similar to. The only other thing I can imagine being like that is your Z06. That's the only other thing I can.
I was actually sort of going to get us there, although this is still about the C8 Corvette. Don't be fooled by all these mini rabbit trails. But yeah. The only guy who's made a power jump out of the three of us is Zach.
That's true.
Zach went from that straight six Ford pickup truck making maybe 80 horsepower with a couple squirrels running around in the valve cover.
It could not pull a grease string out of a cat's hind end. That thing did not.
But.
He could have said butt, but he said my name. You got a problem with that?
That was still one of the most fun trucks.
Oh, God.
Just
that's
to,
fair.
Just
it was a 5-speed, too.
It. Yeah, it was a
like,
5-speed
so
manual,
cool.
300.
How many times did we go through a drive-thru in that thing?
Not as many times as the Protégé.
All right. Okay.
But the truck
yeah.
was close
I'm still
second.
Mad about that clutch. We're gonna bypass that for now.
What do you mean it lasted
that
you
clutch
another?
Was fun.
You guys were like, I pulled out in fourth gear, and then the
I
next time
out in fifth.
Yeah, so the next
time.
Third.
So
we pulled out in third. Most
Someone
times.
Did most times.
There was that one time.
Oh my gosh.
Let's be
okay,
honest.
Right,
that transmission
right.
was such cheese, you didn't know what
hey,
gear you were in.
Hey,
you didn't know.
Whoa. Four
the gears were
Mazda,
half a mile apart.
We're gonna chop this off. That's
yeah.
a great car.
Yeah, Ford also bought Aston Martin so they could steal their grill.
For the Ford Fusion. Yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah.
Man, what a great
you
company.
You wouldn't know that there's three Ford
bunch
guys
of swindlers and stealers and
yeah.
Jew haters.
That's,
well, that's rough history, but maybe it's a little true.
Yeah.
A lot of true. It's fine. We'll do more research.
Not
on
as
that
bad
one.
As Walt Disney. So,
gosh. What okay, we were at Zach on
so,
power
yeah,
jumps.
What about power jump?
Okay, so he went from the pickup.
No,
to
you
a,
power jumped every time. I bet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, to a 300
well,
horsepower.
I mean, if you want to start all the way back at the beginning, the YJ.
That's what I'm talking about.
That Islander, I don't think it makes 50 horsepower.
It did not
okay,
make 50.
So I guess the Islander was a good start. It's an 89 Jeep. It's a straight six, so it's very dependable.
Well, but this particular Islander
had been drinking quarts of oil.
Well, the reason being because Mammy just decided to stop changing the oil in it.
Oh, and not just that. Just fill it.
Yeah, just
like,
put more oil
not
in
even
it.
Check it.
Just
fill it.
Yeah, just put
like,
it
in. If it's been a week, probably needs a quart.
Yeah.
Put two in.
Yeah.
Call it safety.
Yeah, which is not, because then it. The irony being it turns it in the crank. I know I don't have to tell you all this, but the crank turns it, and then you actually lose oil pressure because it foams the oil. And
right, because then it's turning into butter. And
right. So the moral of the story is mix your oil and gasoline if you have an 89 Islander. It'll
yeah.
run better.
And convert it to a two-stroke.
Yeah.
You
got
to put it on four mix. Yeah.
So
anyway.
89 Islander not making, I mean, it was just anemic. And then the truck.
Yet it's the only car I've wrecked also, but we won't
yeah.
get into that.
It's not even a car. It's
really?
A utility vehicle. Really? They always end up on their side, especially if your name is Richard Hammond.
Yeah.
So.
Really quick rabbit trail. I'm coming right back. On those 300 straight sixes, I saw a video the other day where somebody had put, they took an intake that somebody makes where you can, it's just a different format intake. And they put a four barrel on it, like six. I don't know if it was a 450.
This is a 300 straight six.
300 straight six. Not even really done any pedals on it. Had just put a four barrel on it, if I remember correctly. It went from making, because I think you're right. I think it makes about 80. It went from making 80 to over 150.
I have to believe there was some head work or something that was going on there.
No, but think about that.
It was just fuel? You're telling me he just put a four barrel on it?
Air and fuel. It could breathe. Yeah, he put
that's fair.
He put a four barrel on it. And the point is, people are like, oh, wow, 180 horsepower. Well, that's a moron's take on it because it doubled. You put a carb on it and it doubled its output. So, okay, that's the I'll bring it back.
No. There's another rabbit trail off of that. You need to see it's Power Nation. I actually remembered something for once on a YouTube channel. They put a turbocharger on one and they start building it. It's a budget build, too. It makes crazy horsepower. Like 500 plus horsepower. Gosh. And so when you're making that much horsepower out of that really, really long stroked 300 straight six, the torque on it was stupid. Like, just ridiculous. And it sounds like a 2JZ almost. Just like a really low revving 2JZ out of a Supra. And you're like, what is that? That's wild.
Yeah, I remember getting that thing about 2,500 RPM. It's like driving a diesel. Get 2,500.
It's all gasoline diesel.
Yeah. Okay, so the truck was about 80. And then
the Mustang, 300 horsepower on a good day.
On a good day.
Breathing
right.
Low mileage.
And it's definitely...
Yours hit a bridge, though, so we're not sure how many horses made it out of that.
Yeah.
To be clear, Zach did not hit the bridge. He was told after you bought it or when you were buying it.
Is that a Mike Nelms special?
Yeah, we did a good old special where we bought the car, then decided to look at the Carfax for some reason after the fact.
That's what I
do not recommend.
How do you hit a bridge and not end up with a rebuilt title is my question.
Because I think hit a bridge is a little... strong work.
You're saying the old inspector didn't do his work,
he touched a bridge and broke the front bumper.
You also have to remember that this was Dad delivering the news, so you know that he's like...
overplaying
he's
it.
He's like, yeah, Zach, he ran off the Golden Gate. I mean, you know, he's like, Dad's not going to give it the conservative
treatment. I remember that. I walked in the auction that day, and he said, yeah, I don't know about it, old boy. It's not looking good.
Man, he has given me... He has sat me down for the talk. Listen, so y'all remember when they built that pavilion for people to eat their snacks and hot dogs in or the thing.
Yeah.
I have been there, like, when we were shopping for my Jeep, he sat me down with the auto check, going through it with me, giving me the talk on a couple cars. So, like, he's delivered that talk more than once in that setting. But the Mustang, somewhere around 300. And it's fun.
It is fun. And I mean, like, it still gets 0-60 5-ish seconds. 5.5, maybe less, maybe more. Grind.
How good you
grind it going a second? Maybe 6.5 because you let out. And that 350Z was already gone, anyways.
Oh,
that's my life in a nutshell, but that's fine.
But then obviously, the ZF6, which just.
Yeah, 505 horsepower from the factory, and then we go get this beautiful Le Mans blue Corvette, which, Zach, I don't know how you would describe it, but I thought he was going to cry. You don't cry, though.
It's more like you're standing at the top of the hill, and you see it, and it's just like angels are singing. I mean, it's like the heavenly host are telling you, yeah, that's the one, man.
But they weren't singing because he hadn't started it yet.
That's true. Yeah. And then once he started it, then they really... the Hallelujah chorus came on.
I was just afraid with... So, they had a casting problem in the head where they would drop valves.
Mm-hmm.
It was a valve guide problem. Mm-hmm. If I'm wrong, Internet, let me know. That's fine. But I'm fairly certain that was it. And we were worried because this thing had a cam put in it.
Yeah.
But there were no records of the cam being put in or head work done with the cam. But we knew that it was making... How much to the tire?
Making 507 to the tire, so it
and about 600
had,
at the crank,
yeah,
is how
roughly,
he estimated it.
Roughly.
So it's just sort of nuts that like this thing was already ludicrously fast in a stock trim,
right.
And I'm so glad you let me drive it first because I know that you were worried about that when we were researching Z06s. But once I drove it, I tried to keep a level head, but like. It's like a drug. It's intoxicating. You're like, oh my gosh, we're doing 110. And you're not trying to. It's just, that's just another level of fast.
Yeah, it punishes. So talking about the speed that they're capable of, when someone got a ticket and won, and...
No one we know. No one here.
Like,
it's all hypothetical.
Right.
I just remember, I also remember not telling them the vehicle, not telling them who it was, but just, it came up, and I just remember telling my mom what the ticket was for, I think it was more of like some leverage. Like, I wasn't going to throw this person under the bus with my mom, but I also wanted her to not be so mad at me about some of the tickets I've gotten. And so I was like, it's like, Mom, you're not going to believe this. I know someone who got hit going 128. And I'll never forget, my mom's response was, because she's driven, like, her last three cars were brand new 99 Nissan Maxima, brand new 07 Volvo V70, and then non-turbo, and then, I guess a new, what's hers, a 2017 GX460, which is one of my favorite cars to drive, but that's neither here nor there. And although that V70 was a treat. And so anyways, my mom's response, I'll never forget, she was like, how do you even go that fast? And I'm like,
did you say it was in a 50 or did you just?
No, I don't think I.
That would have been better.
I don't think it mattered.
78 miles an hour over the speed limit, yeah, Beverly. That's amazing.
If it had been in the 70, I don't think she'd have been like, oh, well, I understand. Like, it didn't matter. But I just remember her response was, and she was just, she's like, I don't even understand how you could go that fast. I was like, Mom, that was the easiest part of this equation. Like, that is that a ZR1, or excuse me, a Z06 Corvette, not that a ZR1 can't, but a Z06 Corvette, it can get to that speed. It's not going to have a hard time getting, you know, I was like, and then I'm wondering, does she know how fast I've gotten that Lightning? But she doesn't. She doesn't need to. But yeah, so that was.
She doesn't, unless you're listening, Beverly.
She won't.
She's got better things to do with her.
We're 36 minutes in. If we got the first 2 minutes past her ears, we did good. So,
just a scope of where we are right now. Zach's power levels, we were stepping up. Right. This is still supposed to come back to the C8 somehow.
And that was the point that car just punishes. I'm like riding in it, and like I've driven it once. Mm-hmm. And it's a treat, but it's also like I would want to spend a lot of time. Like, again, being young and dumb, you think you're invincible. It's like, I'd get in any car. Like, my dream car right now, I don't think it's any secret, is
an S7.
Oh man.
Yes.
See, sorry? You threw us for a loop because I'm like 2004 Celine S7, and then Zach says S7.
Okay.
Well, are we wrong?
The Shelby Daytona Coupe?
No, okay.
He's changed a lot.
No, are we talking
affordable? Because neither one of those are
right,
affordable.
And this is affordable in air quotes because I'll never be able to afford this one either, but more affordable.
A 911?
It's a 911.
Yeah. Okay.
And
there
so
we're back on base. We're still friends.
As a young man, I would have jumped in anyone's 911 if they'd let me. But yeah, I can drop that.
As a young man, at the ripe old age, making the statement
right,
is...
right, as a younger, dumber man. Now, as a little bit older, young, not as dumb man, I would, like, be so cautious about that. I wouldn't want to just get in, and I would take my time building up to driving that car. And that's the same thing of the... That's the first car that I drove, and I was like, holy crap, I don't, like... Let me just go easy with this.
Taking that, just to make my point, the general public is not ready for any sort of ludicrous mode or plaid model.
Yeah.
Not that many
people
will throw down $120,000 on their Tesla, because that's plaid pricing. Right. But the fact that you can go out and buy one and do 0 to 60 in the 2 second range on the street, or if you hit the strip, or I guess if you get a really great launch, maybe you'll break into the ones, because the whole 1.9 is on a strip. But all I'm saying is, no one can handle that.
No
one I know that's driving their regular commuter can be like, oh, this is fine.
Right.
People drop their phones driving this thing.
Right.
Not that that's a metric necessarily, but it's surprising how quick it is. They don't expect it to be fast.
Yeah. And it's just not, you know, that's the whole thing, is that more people think they're good drivers than the statistics support. Like, if you look at how many people have accidents.
Trap speeds of 150 miles an hour, and this car gets there in 9 seconds and some change.
That's insane.
So what's crazy is, like, you're on the street, you punch it once, you come up to a corner, you're doing 110. How many people have come through a corner doing 110? I don't care how wide the corner is. All right, Zach. But
it was a wide corner.
We won't go
into that.
There we go.
But, yeah, no, it's definitely... And all right, you want to bring things back to the Corvette relation. One thing I have heard about the Teslas, or I've seen coming out some of their fit and finish isn't there, I've heard.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're keeping up that American tradition of being just insanely overpowered, and maybe they didn't spend as much time on body panel fitting than they...
You guys need to, and we'll talk about this more in depth at some point, but the right to rebuild. Oh, so that too. That's wild. Like these.
I've heard about this.
Yeah, we'll do some reading before we talk about it too much because I honestly don't know as much as I should. But it's the fact that a lot of these things have to be serviced at a Tesla dealership, which they don't call them dealerships; they call them showrooms because they cut out the middleman. That is the dealer. That's why you buy direct from Tesla.
Right.
And they tout that, which is fine. That's real. But if you have to buy a battery pack, and that battery pack cost you, I don't know, $16,000. That's pretty expensive because people talk about how the maintenance savings are going to be great, and then you find a shop that can do it for a fraction of the price. I mean, if this whole right to rebuild thing doesn't go through and you're not allowed to get it serviced anywhere but a showroom, that's gonna be tough. That'll be a hard pill to swallow, and that'll be the nail in the coffin for me ever owning anything electric.
You know what's funny? I looked at
least from them.
I genuinely worked out the economics on a Model 3. When I was kind of thinking maybe we would be buying a car, and wound up gifted one, which is now my favorite.
Girl serve.
Yeah, it's my favorite that I've ever had, as far as day to day. But heated seats and leather will do that to you. But
it's Corinthian, right? Not Philistine leather.
No, it's a Ephes. It's Ephesian.
Gosh.
It's Galatian. Ephesiesel.
It's Galatian leather. And so I looked at the economics in between, and energy is not, electricity is not very expensive around here. We have the benefit of TVA.
Right.
But even still, the fact that you're so limited, because it went from being, the first Tesla I ever saw in my life was at a Cars and Coffee in Knoxville that we were all at. Over off Parkside, and
we being the three of us.
Mm-hmm. That's when we saw that
GT 350.
Maybe
I think that's the last one I went to.
I just remember there was a ProCharge C6 we heard when we were leaving that sounded just devastating. But but anyway, so they. I just remember that was the first Tesla I'd ever seen, and it was an old man who bought it who had obviously done well in his life, and that's back when they were really expensive. The S's are not cheap, but.
Right, but the threes are more affordable. Way more affordable.
But he talked about how there was a panel, there was an interior panel on the door that had gotten scratched. And I don't know, he told him about it in boomer fashion. I don't know. The bottom line is Tesla came out and replaced the panel because it had been marred. Not defective necessarily, but marred. I mean, he talked, the level of service, you know. I remember him talking about what he was experiencing as an owner when it was in the investing stage.
Right, and it was boutique at that point, honestly, being very real.
That's a good way of putting it. And now it's just not the case. And so, when I worked out when I was looking into it, what you're talking about with your repair options, you just go through them. Like, that's what you can do. And so, and there are people who are kind of coming out of the woodwork because the market's always going to create people who are going to try to beat it, you know. And so there are some people, but, you know, one guy's in Michigan. Like, what are you going to do? Go up to, you know, so it was, I didn't see it. It wasn't for me. To me, if I was going to buy an electric vehicle and they weren't there yet when we were looking at this, it's been in the last 12 months that there's been this huge push, but they weren't there yet, but I was going to go with a more traditional, you know, heavyweight U.S. Well, not even necessarily U.S., but just a manufacturer that had been on the scene that, you know, the framework was there.
Chrysler.
No.
Very dependable.
It was not.
Very good products.
It was not going
to
be a Chrysler.
It's funny how Fiat brought Chrysler back to their core, if you ask me. But, you know, that's another story, another day.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the Corvette. I love how we're getting hung on the Tesla because we actually sort of like talking about it, I think.
Well, it's just...
And it's interesting. It's news.
There's been a paradigm shift. You can't deny Ford's doing the Mustang Mach-E, which is its own conversation.
And the hybridization of the Mustang in general. Just saying. That'll be interesting. You're going to have a hybrid 4-cylinder option, 6-cylinder option, and 8-cylinder option.
Which is also what's on, like, hypercars. So
yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah, and then you've got the new Lightning, which, again, just Ford is actually sucking on tailpipes in their naming department. But it won't matter much longer.
Not tailpipes. It's outlets now.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah. But then you've got the Lightning. The new Lightning's all electric. And there's definitely been a paradigm shift. Like, Tesla has forced the issue in such a way that, you know, GM has their new EV format. And
the E-Ray is coming out. Didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
How do you feel about an electric Corvette, Zach?
I don't know enough about it to.
I don't even know if the E-Ray is electric or if it's a hybrid, honestly.
I don't know. Last I heard, I thought it was going to be all electric, but that would be a surprising jump from what a Corvette is.
That's fair.
So, who knows?
Do you feel like the Z06 is the swan song for the V8s in them? Or do you think they will still be present? Like, do you think this is the end of the V8 era in the Corvette?
I would be surprised, but...
It'd be a hard sell.
Yeah. I mean, Corvette started out with an inline six in it, but made it nowhere in a year, so I don't see them going back to anything other than a V8.
Yeah.
So.
But you don't think electrification would push it out?
No. I think it's too much of a driver's car, to go back to that. Sure, they'll make an electric one that can beat out the current Z06, but...
0 to 60, 0 to 100.
Yeah,
I really don't see it happening around track.
But it comes back to, man, I really wish I had some engine noise. Man, I really wish I had a little more feel when I took off instead of just instantaneous torque. Here we go. Yay.
Yeah.
No noise. No fun. I mean, I'm sure it's fun. I can't say that, but... There has to be the adrenaline rush still, but it just takes away from it.
That's the whole thing. It's the boutique thing. That's what it's going to become. I mean, you're just not going to see...
Oh, like internal combustion engine cars become boutique? Like flipping it on its head?
In our lifetime.
Yeah, I've sort of realized that. Because people are buying cars because they like them, not necessarily because they're practical. It's usually people on their second or third car.
And we're just in a weird place. And I can kind of speak on this, being a lender of both mortgage and consumer loans.
Ooh.
Cars are just, money's not real anymore. And and people are so debt friendly now. We used to be more debt averse in this country, and we're just... I was telling the story. In 3 years, I went from writing my first loan that was $30,000 and like nearly losing sleep over it to writing $70,000 loans on cars and just not even thinking anything of it because that's just – I mean, seriously. Like, I remember the first loan I did that was in the 30s, and I was like, this is crazy. And now, just a short time later, you can't buy – for heaven's sakes, I mean, Subarus. I don't think they have any models left in the 20s. I don't even think the Crosstrek base model, but anything. I mean, just, you know, pick your brand. Toyota's got a couple left in the 20s, and then, you know, but that's, you know, it's just kind of, it's moved so much. And so I don't know that money is the issue, because people are obviously, you know, out of their mind enough to pay. Like, okay, we were talking about Muscle Mustangs and Fast Fords. Remember when that was still a thing and we were reading those kind of magazines? And the thought of somebody buying a $30,000 Mustang and then putting a $30,000...
Just everything. Like
Roush Stage 3.
Sleeving the block and having, you know, ported heads slapped on. And it's nothing. Dry sump oil pans.
Either a Shelby kit or a Saline kit or a Roush kit. And, like, spending $30,000, $40,000 on a Stage 3... And you're going, oh my gosh, they have $70,000 in this car. And now you go to Ford's website and you configure a truck or you configure a Shelby Mustang and it's like, oh, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000.
Yeah.
And it's just not – I think the economics are there, but for now, until, like, inflation ever actually matters. But, you know, we're pretending – it doesn't for now. So, but that's, you know, to your point, Zach, I don't – maybe it doesn't go away, but I think it becomes a – I think we just need to anticipate that – or I think it's reasonable to assume that cars will just – most cars you pass on the road will be electric at some point. Because I can imagine making this argument for carburetors.
Right.
Like imagine going – well, and there's kind of an argument to be made for carburetors from that perspective. You go, well, you can work on them yourself. They're so much easier.
Right.
I mean, you can set the timing. I mean, you know, you can tune your own car. You know, we can have conversations about that, right? But then fuel injection, you're not passing cars on the road that have built in the last 10 years that aren't direct injected at this point.
Right. I mean, you know, or both.
Yeah. And or port. I mean, but they're just, you know, there's not, it's not, it's just the point being, I just think that it's the next step in the progression.
But do you think it's, I don't want to be this guy, but I'm going to say it. Do you think it is just people's perception of the future? Do you actually think it's the future? Hydrogen had really good potential. Like, something that literally emits CO2, which I get we need to reduce, but also water vapor is an emission. I mean, we breathe out CO2. We have trees to bring that. Like, cyclically thinking, in my mind, that makes sense. Because an engine block can be reused. And I'm not saying batteries absolutely cannot be, but lithium is not the easiest thing to process on the planet.
I don't think, and I'm happy to be wrong, but I just don't think so. I think it is where it's going.
So what I was getting at is, do you think people, I don't know, do you think the science is there, or do you think it's because people have already pushed it there?
It's because the regulation's there.
Right.
It's not going to be, so I was watching something just this week on, do you remember, we were just old enough, do you remember when the ozone layer was a big deal when we were kids? Do you know why you don't hear about it anymore?
No idea.
Because we banned chlorofluorocarbons, and we banned CFCs, and the whole world essentially came together and took action against what we thought was causing the hole in the ozone layer. And we've actually seen the trends reversed in the last 5 years. That the hole in the ozone is actually shrinking. Now we have HFCs in the air, and we got to figure out, it's a greenhouse gas.
Right, the whole global warming thing.
Right, and what are we going to do? But the reason you don't hear about it anymore is not because there's a narrative out there, and it is true about a lot of things, that there has to be a new disaster all the time. Like that's right.
Like for news to exist.
right. But there's a narrative out there that the reason you don't hear about it anymore is because of that. That's not true. There's some evidence, there's a lot of evidence, and there's a lot of just historical fact that would support the idea, as far as I can understand it, that the reason you don't hear about the ozone anymore is because the necessary change was made.
Right.
And so I go back and I listen to some quotes and some of the, I don't even want to say propaganda, but some of the talking lines that and talking points from that era, and it's eerily similar to what we're talking about now with greenhouses. And you know, it's like the whole, another one, it used to be cutting down the rainforest was the biggest thing.
Right.
And as I understand it, and I'm not even necessarily agreeing with it, I'm just saying that from what they believe and the position they hold, it's had to take a back seat to something with more precedence, which is the greenhouse, the carbon issue. And so,
have you heard about the recycling of hydrocarbons in the atmosphere that Porsche was working on?
Well, I've heard of, there's a couple plants that are, that's another thing popping up.
Yeah.
Like in Norwegian or whatever.
Which is somewhat encouraging because if those factories keep working out, if that process actually keeps working out and you're just recirculating what's already being used, then I see no reason to totally outlaw internal combustion engines. Maybe it'll get pushed to that point, but it's just nice to know that there is a solution to keep driving them.
Well, the problem is, if we would just embrace the potential of nuclear energy, that would just be...
Oh, it'd be phenomenal.
Nice.
It really would be.
We would solve so many issues.
As opposed to, have you ever played a Fallout game? Have you heard of Chernobyl?
Right. And it's just, and you go back through and you can... but yeah, no, if we could, you know, the nuclear thing. But I do. I really think that whether it's real or not, and I'm not taking a position either way, I'm just saying whether it's real or not, it's real enough to the people who have enough power that it's going to be the next big thing. And I just don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to be, it's going to continue to be. The next big crisis is we just don't have enough energy for this.
Will there be enough energy for the ZR1? Right. We may not know.
Well, will there be just literally the question, okay, you're going to, because what is work done on something? So like these cars, you can, just literal physics, like we have to continue to move these objects. And right now, the only infrastructure that can support that much is what's stored in oil and then
converted to gasoline to be combusted. That's the only thing we have. It's the only entity we have generating enough stored energy that because we just
worldwide,
we don't have it there yet for electric cars. But it's going to force the issue, and it's going to, you know. So, but yeah, I really believe, again, not wanting it to be the case, but I really believe that we're going to see that era come to a close on combustion.
Man, I'm glad I just appraised collector cars. I'll be fine. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. But there and again, I think it becomes the boutique thing.
Yeah. That's really a good way of looking at it.
So, and if you're willing to spend $60,000, $70,000 on a car, somebody can probably figure out how to build you a car for $70,000 where they make enough, you know, because...
Oh, yeah.
But regulation is the death of all fun because they've got to meet all these safety minimums that make it
safety
hard,
and regulations. Health and safety. There's a whole bit on that for Top Gear. It's good stuff. Good stuff.
But yeah, so there's your depressing report for the week. That gosh, you might as well get over your V8s because forget, are they going to stay with 8 cylinders? Are they going to keep cylinders at all?
Right.
But
I'm still pulling for hydrogen, but, you know.
It's the only, but like...
Okay, packaging is so difficult. Well, that's where it's been for like the last 30-something years.
And Toyota can only sell them if through a... So, through a
subsidiary?
No. When you subsidize something, it's your subsidization. Anyways, so when you buy... Because Toyota, as far as I know, is the only one commercial, like, available in the U.S., hydrogen cell car, and if you buy one, you get a $15,000 fuel credit over the first 3 or 5 years.
Dang.
And so the only way they can make the economics work out on that is you have to give the person $15,000 worth of hydrogen to buy, because, and that doesn't get you through, as I understand it, that doesn't get you through the time it's allocated for. It just, and you can only lease them right now. You can't buy it outright, if I understand correctly.
Well, what's wild is, it's cool that a manufacturer's doing this, but definitely the way I'm thinking about it is, I was talking to a mechanic, not to rabbit trail this, but he was talking about a buddy of his that bought a Nissan Altima. He drilled a hole in the intake port and...
Did hydrolysis?
Yeah, he somehow used a catheter to deliver the hydrogen from a boiling tank in the trunk. Yeah. This is some wild engineering, but it improved the MPG of the car. I think he said he was averaging 31, I mean, an old Altima.
Yeah.
He got 45 miles to the gallon out of that sucker. But it was one of those things where you have to manually open the valve and you have to let the hydrogen into the intake port.
And it only works with an ECU. Because otherwise you're having to tune on the fly.
Right.
So you need a computer that can say, I'm running, you know, well,
richer lean.
It's not even running fuel lean because the hydrogen is combustible. So it's
right.
So it's, but yeah. So, and it's not even boiling. So you charge. It works better with ionized water, but you charge.
The boiling part is just to get it to a vapor. So whenever it's delivered,
well,
into the
bubbles
intake.
Are occurring, but it's not boiling because it's just electrolysis.
Oh, that's
true. It's just splitting the hydrogen and the oxygen. And then you're capturing it. But it would look like it's boiling. But,
right.
But, yeah, I used to think that there was a way. I thought, so when I was in landscaping and would spend 8 hours on a mower at a time, and just my mind would wander, I thought that if you could ever figure out a way to make it work, because a lot of, if you could ever make it work for mowers, if you could double, because we just couldn't carry enough fuel for some of these, you know, we'd have to have all these 5 gallon tanks to, you know, if you could make mowers twice as fuel efficient, that would, well, twice is a huge jump, but if you could make them more fuel efficient, that would really impact the bottom line of for guys who are mowing. So you could work the economics out on that to make it
try
worth
to
the
scale
expense.
It up. Yeah.
Yeah, and so you could say, but yeah, the hydrolysis thing is, because that's what they.
It's been around since the 70s, too.
They've used it on submarines.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I feel like the perception wasn't there, honestly, from the public. That's sort of what I was getting at with the whole electrification thing. Like,
yeah.
Perception drives so much of how we move forward. Not necessarily Because, I mean, there's science to back either one, and I get that there are definitely easier ways of making certain things work. Like, the technology is there because we're making batteries smaller and lighter than we ever have before. And they're still massive because they take up the whole floorboard of a car, right. But it's doable. It's feasible.
Right. And it's still, I mean, in the hydrolysis thing, it's still hacky because you have to,
yeah,
you have to work out the system yourself. You have to literally plumb the, however you collect it, you have to plumb it to the intake. Because a lot of people, for safety's sake, put it in the back of the car and then plumb it to the front, you know.
Right. And that's just, yeah. Like, and I think that's a whole other system.
I used to be interested. I wanted to do it to something.
Hey, we could. If we get sponsored and we bought a junk car,
yeah,
something with four cylinders that's really easy to work on, I don't see why we couldn't work.
See, but it'd be even more fun to do it to a V8 to see how much you could get out of it.
I know.
Here's what I'm saying. Get one of those Buicks. Well, like they're a six-cylinder.
Yeah, the LeSabre.
Yeah, get like a LeSabre with the...
Which you were blown away by the gas mileage anyways.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the date that I had to go on.
With the rhinoceros? Yeah.
Yeah, but what is it? Is it the 3.6 V6?
I don't know, 3.8 maybe, because it's a GM lineup thing.
Well, whatever it is, those things got insane gas mileage. So imagine if you just did that on top of it. Like, how could you get... Could you get close to 50? I mean, like, you know.
I don't know. That'd be wild, though. We should do that because that's affordable for us.
Yeah.
Zach's crying. I mean, he's not actually crying, but he's thinking about spending money on a LeSabre and how that would just kill him.
Because some of us have debt to pay.
Yeah.
Brady knows all about debt. He could help you out.
Don't have any other than what... So, I had one of those reverse dowries where my wife... where my wife came with... negative $20,000. So, but
we should tie this back to the Corvette.
Yeah,
debt, hydrolysis.
The Z06 is the most affordable.
Okay, there we go. This is where we're going.
Dollar for dollar.
Are you talking about the C6 right now? Because it was the C8. I'm just talking about the current market. It was so cheap when you bought yours.
I mean...
Which is relative, but yes.
That's fair.
Yeah. My car's cheap.
My car's cheaper, good sir.
But mine, we're talking free. In the realm of sports car bordering line into supercar. So, in that realm, the Corvette is very cheap.
Yeah, that's
comparatively.
Fair.
But if you really want to bring it back full circle... The whole thing we're talking about. You've got, this is true of the electric car thing. You've got to enjoy it. If I won the lottery tomorrow, I would not buy a C8 Corvette.
It's because you don't like the way they look, though.
I don't like how they look, and I just don't, it's just, why would I?
Have you heard the Z06?
Huh.
It makes you happy.
It might change your mind.
Yeah,
I doubt it will, because you really don't like the way it looks.
And that's fair.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Plus the S7 exists, so do Porsche 911s.
Yeah.
Factory, you know, 5 makes a nice Daytona coupe, since none of us can afford anything close to a real one.
Well, I mean, no one can. Who would ever sell one?
They get traded. It's fine.
Maybe for, like, some reason we don't understand that's behind closed doors, but they are, for all intents and purposes, priceless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big money. Old money. Bezos money. Whatever money. There's money I don't even comprehend.
That's a... Jeff Bezos' Canadian cousin there, old Jim Bezos.
That's fair. Really butchered that.
It's fine.
That's fair enough. All right, C8. So you wouldn't have one.
Just wouldn't have one.
I would find a rebuilt title one, and that is the only way I would end up in one, because I'm cheap. I am looking at rebuilt
title. Don't they
title
have electronic titles. Stealing? Steering?
Stealing? I don't know about that.
C6s have electronic steering.
Don't C8s?
So do...
So do a lot of.
Like RS197 Mustangs.
I'm just saying, I would not buy a rebuilt title on something with electronic steering.
Why?
Can
I be real with you? There's this thing called the Mustang 2, and that power rack and pinion steering has been adapted to everything on God's green earth.
Are you telling me that
I would buy a supercar?
And no, he's going to buy a Dodge Viper and put Mustang 2 steering in that thing.
And I don't.
V10 doesn't need to be guided by anything great.
No.
Have you ever thought about how there's nothing more, not that I'm Buddhist or whatever believes in.
Okay, where are we going?
Well, there's nothing more yin and yang than the Mustang 2 in the history of automotive
What, being as ugly as sin, and yet
it's,
still...
There's nothing more universally hated, and nothing betrayed its form more than the Mustang. It betrayed its form more than the C8 betrayed the Corvette.
No, it did.
And yet...
You're forgetting that the Volkswagen Beetle ever existed. The Hitler machine that brought peace to the earth in the 70s and made love, not war, although it was created for war and Heil Hitlering.
But what do you mean? But the new bug, the new Beetle was loved.
It was a joke, I'm saying. One was literally made by a Nazi dictator. And then it ended
up
being...
Yeah, well, so was Porsche, and I want a Porsche, so what's not...
Well, he had a gun to his head. Maybe literally. Sorry, Ferdinand, that's how that went down.
But, so, I... The truth, but really, nothing has betrayed its origin like the Mustang. I mean, it's just awful.
You're right.
I think
you're
the Model
right.
E is up there.
Yeah,
that's
the next one.
No, not
I think they looked to
the
Mustang
the
2
one.
And said, hey, let's do it again,
let's
guys.
Let's talk about formula. At least the Mustang... Wait, no, we need to finish the CH.
Okay, this is what this is what I'm saying, is that that's yin and yang, because however terrible it was, those front ends have been in more kick cars. Ford did more for the world than those
front
ends.
Well, they did, though, because you go to a double wishbone setup and you get rack and pinion steering, power or manual. Emmanuel. Anyways.
No, Manuel.
Okay.
Oh, we're canceled now.
I'll need one more joke. Okay. Zach, you need to weigh in because you're the guy wearing the National Corvette Museum shirt.
On
the
have y'all been?
I would have a rebuilt title one.
It. It's a
he wouldn't have
place.
One at all.
I would consider buying one for the right price. But
that was very real.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, yeah, let me be clear. If someone's like, hey, $100, you can have a C8.
Right.
Well,
and
yeah,
that's true
of
anything. Because you know, if they're like, hey, do you want this car? I'm not gonna turn down a free car.
I don't have rebuilt title money for being real.
But
so.
Yeah, me
the
either.
Thing about it is, I mean, it's gonna become the C8 is going to become a legacy car at some point because it was the turning point.
That's true.
So it's going to hit
it's
probably
what
unknown
it's what
prices.
Zora wanted.
But,
it is.
But
go ahead.
That didn't happen with the Mustang, too.
It didn't go to mid-engine?
No.
It didn't become a legacy car?
It didn't become a legacy car.
So you're saying there's a chance that they're going to go back to front-engine and the C8 will just be an outlier.
It'll be the Mustang 2 of the Corvettes.
No, I don't think that's possible.
See? Well,
only Ford can
just
screw
wait.
Up that bad. Oh, and you said there's no free car you wouldn't take. That's not true. I can... a Chrysler. Are you... Okay.
It's only because we spend more money fixing it the same day we got it for
that's
free.
That's what I'm saying.
See, here's my problem with that. It's still free at some point. If I can push it and put it in neutral, even with a screwdriver, I'm taking it.
I'm telling you, I'm too fat and lazy to even want to do that. If it's a Chrysler, I'm not taking it.
It depends on what Chrysler.
Yeah,
I mean, Dodge Viper is technically a Chrysler.
Yeah,
at some
I'm painting
point.
With broad brushes, but we all know I'm.
Carroll Shelby touched that thing. I don't care if it was very far removed from him. He looked at it.
You know, he looked
at it
and was like, "I hate it." And they're like, "Yeah, he had part of it."
He had part of it.
Bob Lutz, go Lutz yourself. He used to. That's great. That
so
was his
my
calling.
Only point is, if Corvettes could stay at the price point that Chevrolet released for them, aka not go through a dealership,
yeah,
it would be worth it.
Dealers. They actually aren't as bad as we paint them all the time.
They're not
like,
good.
Like,
yes, they
the
are.
Markups, the markups are terrible. I agree, but like they make
a base C8 was supposed to start at $50,000. You cannot buy one from a dealer or from a private buyer under.
Do you think it would be
triple digits.
Any different buying it from the manufacturer?
Six digits. Sorry, that was wrong.
Their MSRP would just go up.
No,
so,
say that again.
I do. That, look, of all the things that I'm okay with this podcast becoming. At no point will we be apologists for car salesmen. Like,
no, I'm not being an apologist.
I know,
I'm just saying
like,
dealerships actually have benefits for local communities. They provide jobs for people, even if it is a snake in a suit sort of scenario or
right.
a weasel handing out Monopoly money to
someone.
And
I'm not saying it's not better than a lot, not all, but than a lot of used cars dealerships. Because like, and I do appreciate, I take my Honda to Honda to be serviced by Honda.
The manufacturer,
yeah,
Japan,
yeah.
They fly
Japan.
Over there.
Yeah. Hey, I need an oil change.
All right, we'll have it back in 3 days, sir.
Yeah.
Very good English.
You know, they're
Sorry.
Telling me that.
Right?
Sure, sure. We'll have it back in 3 days.
Oh, whoa. That's getting...
It's what editing...
It's great. So that was our take on the Corvette, and I guess an introduction without an introduction.
But I will make one unsolicited suggestion. Don't give it a serious name. You had good name ideas, but we will. It will be a continual disservice... To any good name.
Do we just pull for a name? And if they say,
Well, we're going to be the only people voting on that poll.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We at least need to set it up.
Old Cat Podcast.
Okay, well, I'm,
that's it. That Truckers only. Do you like your big rig or your little Jimmy? I don't know. All right.
Which gearbox are you shifting, Papaw?
Okay. What, you could do a playoff of, like, armchair quarterback. You know, like, armchair driver. Armchair quarterback's a term for a guy who thinks he knows what...
I feel like backwards mechanic isn't taken yet.
Yeah.
Or is it backwards mechanic? I don't know.
No, it's neither.
All right. That's it.
What about there's coolant in the oil?
Oh. They call that milkshake. They do. So we could be, ooh, that's not good.
Crankshaft
milkshake boys. I don't think
that's it was worse. It was an alliteration. It was milkshake men, which is it's not
getting better.
Yeah,
better than men's milkshakes.
God.
Manshake. No.
The new Sonic Blast. Men's milkshake.
Yeah, Sonic
Blast. Hey, I see some hair in here. Men's milkshake.
Yeah, Sonic Blast out of your bum. Gosh.
We need a name, we need a name. The icon, the legend, 30 years of saline.
Oh my god.
You had something. There was something.
I don't know. I just...
Oil in the water?
Yeah. Water on the dipstick.
Water on the dipstick. That's it. That is actually it.
Because it's just like, that's just a bad day when you pull the dipstick.
And it's milkshake. Yeah.
Milk on my dipstick.
Okay. Back?
You're fired. You're actually fired.
What if we just...
get out of here. It's your house.
What about milky oil change?
I liked water on the dipstick.
Yeah,
I
that's
did.
Like
that,
the...
That's the quintessential bad day. What makes it quintessential?
Can you shorten it to watery dipstick, or does that start to get...
It starts to slide, I think.
I like water on the dipstick. I don't think it's serious. I don't think we're holding up to any standard other than just blowing head gaskets and continuing to drive cars.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Isn't
so,
that what you did with the straight six yes, truck?
Yeah, and then I sold it for a profit.
Yeah.
Like a chump.
Remember when I said we're not going to be apologists for car salesmen?
Yeah, a terrible
this
one.
Is why.
We're not going to be apologists or car salesmen?
Yeah.
We need to do a whole bit on selling cars. All right, that's it. Water on the dipstick. We're done.